Hello, everybody. This is Miguel Gonzalez welcoming you once again to another episode of Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you so much for once again choosing to be with us for this program, for this message. We are very much encouraged by some of the feedback that we get from many of you who watch us and listen to us on the radio. Well, today we are going to actually talk about the principle of trust. We're entering into the last principle in the series. We've entitled this series, The Pursuit of Christ. We've spent several months going through the eight principles that we said we would look at, that if we practice them, if we live by those principles, then our life will be a life that indeed demonstrates to the world that our passion and our goal and our desire is to pursue Christ. And again, there's no greater endeavor, there's no greater calling, there is no greater privilege for any human being than that, to be able to pursue Christ. So this is the principle of trusting, the last principle in the series. It'll break down into about three messages. Today we'll look at, there's three major points we want to look at. Today we'll look at the first point and the sub-points under it. But before we do that, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the many rich truths that we find in your word. May you help us apply those truths to our lives so that our lives may prove that we love you, that we passionately desire to pursue you above everything else. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. I don't know if they still make this particular toy that I'm going to mention. I want to use this as to open up as an illustration of what we're going to be talking about. And it serves as an illustration of life and how life can be in this world. For those of you who have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know that there's no greater experience than to experience the life that you have now been given, because you're born again, in Christ. You are, for the first time in your life, actually experiencing what God desired for all humans to experience before the fall. I used to have one of these. I don't know if they still make them, but for those of you who remember it, if they don't make it anymore, you'll get the point. This used to be an inflatable punching bag. It used to be probably about five feet tall, maybe a little bit longer. You used to inflate it, and you used to punch it. And every time you punched it, it would come back into the standing position. So you could punch it again, it would go down, come back up. Now, why did it come back up? Very simple. It had on the bottom, as an anchor, sand. And every time you punched it, that anchor caused the balloon to just come back up every single time. Now, I want to use that as an illustration of life on earth, even for the Christian. Think of it this way. Life is the puncher. We are the bag, and Christ is that anchor that helps us get right back up every time life deals us a blow. And that's the way it is. Listen, we live in a fallen world. Yes, we have Christ in us, and yes, we abide in him, and yes, we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and yes, we're experiencing for the first time ever life, but we still live and serve God in a fallen world that over and over will give you blows. But if you are a Christian and you are trusting God, God will serve as that anchor that will cause you, will give you the strength to get right back up and keep moving forward until the next punch. Then he'll, if you continue to trust him, he'll continue to give you the strength to get right back up and keep serving until the next punch, and then he'll cause you once again to get right back up and keep going and keep serving and keep passionately pursuing him. But you have to trust God if God is going to be that anchor that over and over and over allows you to rebound from every blow that Satan sends your way, that people send your way, that life sends your way. Listen, life is not easy. Humanly speaking, life may not be easy as we live it in this world. There's disappointments, there's sickness, there's you name it. But as long as we are related to God and we trust God, listen, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, a passage that I took to heart, that I clung to during times of difficulty. And I'm going to go to that passage because it is worth looking at. Many of you know probably what passage I'm going to go to. Listen. In Romans chapter 8, you know what passage I'm going to go to? All things, listen, all things work together for good to those who love God. Listen, no matter what life throws your way, if you trust God, God will turn every circumstance, every challenge, every disappointment, every letdown, he will turn it for good and make it work in your favor. How do you think we become strong? How do you think our character is developed as Christians? God uses the difficulties of life, the challenges that life here on earth throws our ways, in order to mature us. Those are the trials that conform us more and more to the image of Christ, as long as we're trusting God to turn all those things for good. But the key here is, again, for those who love him. Now I'm going to spend some time, in fact, the text that we're going to use to look at this principle is going to be Hebrews chapter 12, though we're going to be looking at other passages that support what Hebrews chapter 12 is going to tell us. Our focus is going to be on Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What a great passage. And how much there is there to just ponder on. We won't be able to uncover every single thing that is packed in those three verses, but we will have a good overview of what the author of Hebrews is telling us. First of all, if we look at verse 1 of chapter 12, we're going to find that in order for us to be able to trust God, and one of the benefits of trusting God is that trust keeps us focused on him. Listen to what it says in verse 1 once again. Therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I want you to pay attention, particularly to the first part of verse. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, who are those witnesses? Well, if you go back to chapter 11, you will read about that great cloud of witnesses. Now, we're not going to spend time looking at every single person there, but I do want to highlight some of it. Listen, these individuals mentioned in chapter 11 were people just like you and me, people who endured hardship, people who were persecuted, people who were dealt with blows throughout their lives, but yet consistently and constantly rebounded and continued demonstrating character and lived and modeled a life that now deserves being mentioned and forever written on the pages of Scripture. Listen, if you want to learn how it is that these individuals managed to trust God in spite of all the circumstances, read chapter 11. And then go back to the Old Testament and read about their life and the challenges that they experienced. Listen, trust kept them focused. The only thing that they had in many instances was trust in God. Indeed, that all things would work together for good. Listen, I want to speak about one individual specifically in chapter 11. Now, chapter 11 talks about Abel and talks about Noah and talks about Abraham and talks about other great individuals like Isaac and Jacob. But I want to focus a little bit on Moses here. If you have your Bible, look at chapter 11 and verse 23. We'll start there. It says, by faith, listen, by faith, by trusting God, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now listen, by faith, by trusting God, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, he chose, look at this. This is exemplifying precisely the trust that we're talking about here. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Why would he do that? Why would Moses deliberately choose a life that would certainly bring hardship and mistreatment and suffering and pain rather than allowing himself to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter and having and living in all the luxury that Egypt had to offer? Why? Why would Moses do that? Well, let's keep going. He regarded disgrace, listen, for the sake of Christ. Now, it's interesting. Isn't it interesting here that it mentions Christ even though we're talking about Moses, who lived long before Christ came into this world? Well, listen, the Old Testament saints are saved the same way we are saved. The only difference is that they looked forward to the cross and we look backward to the cross. But salvation is by faith through grace in Christ alone. And listen to what it says here. He regarded this disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Listen, because he was looking ahead to his reward. You know what? When he trusted Jesus for his salvation, God apparently revealed to Moses that awaiting him, as long as he trusted him, awaiting him was a great reward. And I don't know how much detail was given. I don't know if he saw a vision. I don't know. But I can tell you that he knew that something great was awaiting him at the end of his earthly life. And even during his earthly life, he received great blessing. But listen, it wasn't given to him right away. He had to trust God that God would deliver what he said he would deliver at some point in the future. He chose to be mistreated. He chose a life that brought about pain and suffering for the sake of Christ, and because he believed and trusted that God would deliver what he said he would. And you know what? In spite of all the hardship and in spite of all the mistreatment, Moses endured and continued walking with God because he was focused on God. Trust helped him remain focused on the priorities. Another example is, for example, found in Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You remember him. And we're going to look at verses 54 and forward. Listen to what it says. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Listen, you know why Stephen chose to allow the crowds to drag him out of the city and stone him to death? Because he had seen God's glory and he had placed his trust in God. And there was nothing the devil could do to him, and there was nothing humans could do to him that would cause him to deny or retreat from trusting God. Trust keeps us focused on him. Another thing, back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, trust also leads to freedom. Look at verse 1 again, and I'm going to start at the second half of the verse. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for sin. You know what the author of Hebrews is saying here? That by virtue of having entered into a personal relationship with Jesus, we have been set free from the power of Satan and from the power of sin. And that for the first time in our lives, we have true freedom. And the author of Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Before becoming a Christian, you could have never possibly done that. That would have been impossible. But because you have been born again and Christ has redeemed you, he has purchased you out of the slave market of sin, you have now the power to choose not to sin and to choose to remove those distractions and hindrances that will keep you from living and trusting and abiding in God. Listen, trust, one, keeps us focused. And we saw that example in the life of Moses and in the life of Stephen. And trust leads to freedom. Another passage I want to look at in relation to trust leading to freedom is 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Listen to what Paul said. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do not get a crown that will not last. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Listen, you know what Paul is saying? People will train and focus and trust and rely on their coaching and their hard work to do something that will give them a crown that doesn't last. There's no real freedom in what they do. But as Christians, we can lay aside everything that can keep us from living for God. And the result is that at the end of life here on earth, and after we've come to the judgment seat of Christ and received our rewards, we will receive that crown that will last forever. But the only reason you're going to get that is because trust in God has led you to freedom. Another passage we can look at, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Listen to what it says. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Did you see that? Listen, Paul is saying that as soldiers of Christ, as servants of Christ, we need to keep ourselves from all those things that will hinder us from living a life that will bring honor and glory to Christ. But the only way we're going to accomplish or really experience that freedom, and the only way we're going to truly remain focused and remain obedient to God is by trusting Him. Let me ask you something today. How much do you trust God? I mean, I know we say that we trust God and we say that we pray about things and we believe God will answer our prayers and all those things. But how much do you really trust God? Do you trust that God will provide your needs if you lose your job tomorrow? Do you believe God will provide the spiritual needs if you encounter issues that deal you a blow? And that do you trust God enough to be that anchor that causes you to stand right back up and continue living and serving Him? Don't say you trust God if you really question every time you come to God, you question His ability to deliver. Listen, as long as you pray in God's will, God has promised to answer all your prayers. Trust in God. Well, we've reached the end of this message. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the great examples that we have in Hebrews chapter 11. May we learn how they lived and how they trusted you so that we ourselves may practice that same level of trust. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.